The Pre-K through 12 Appropriations Subcommittee will come to order. DJ, will you please call the roll?
Chair Tomko?
Here.
Vice Chair Gossett-Seedman? Ranking Member Williams? Representatives Alvarez? Gracie Davis?
Here.
Kennedy? Daly?
Here.
Daniels?
Here.
Dunkley?
Here.
Garcia?
Present.
Gonzalez-Pittman?
Present.
Lopez?
Here.
Michael?
Here.
Rizzo?
Here.
Temple?
Here.
Chair, we have a quorum.
A quorum being present, I want to welcome everyone to the Pre-K through 12 Appropriations Subcommittee meeting. Please make sure that cell phones and other communication devices are turned off or are on silent mode. Members, we have a short agenda today. I want to provide an update on the fiscal implementation of the Choice Scholarships for the fiscal year 23 through 24. My ultimate goal for this update was to provide both an update on the number of Choice Scholarships funded for the current year and the amount of funding associated with these scholarships. With the passage of the largest expansion of school choice in the nation and the alignment of our FEFP with funding students based on parental school choice, the first half of the current fiscal year has been extremely busy. As such, we have not been given the third calculation of the fiscal year 23 through 24 FEFP, which is based on the results of the October FTE survey. Therefore, getting funding data in time for our meeting was not possible. However, I will share with you that the FTE estimating conference met yesterday and was presented current year FTE data based on a preliminary review of the October FTE survey results. Interestingly, the preliminary data is showing a decrease of 42,990 FTE students compared to the number of appropriated FTE students. Once staff gets the third calculation files, a more thorough review of the FTE data will be completed and we'll be able to answer the questions that I'm sure you have, which is where was the decrease in FTE students. As we continue to get data from the Department of Education and the scholarship funding organizations, we will eventually be able to share with you the amount of funding associated with funded choice scholarships for the current year. What we can provide today is an update on the number of choice scholarships that have been funded as of January 8, 2024. And I've asked staff to pull this data together, and Denise will present this data for our review. So with that, Denise, you are recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As the Chair mentioned, the staff was asked to pull together for the current fiscal year the number of choice scholarships that have been funded to date. Prior to walking you through our slides, let me remind members that a funded scholarship means funds have been transferred to the Scholarship Funding Organization, or SFO, for deposit into the scholarship recipient's account. This is not the same as the term awarded scholarships. Awarded means that the SFO has notified the applicant that he or she has been given a scholarship. Not all awarded scholarships are ultimately accepted and thus funded. The data that we're presenting on the slides today represents funded scholarships. Additionally, staff thought it would be helpful to present this data by comparing the current year funded scholarships to fiscal year 22-23. So let's start with the Florida Tax Credit Scholarship Program, or FTC. There were two major changes to this scholarship program beginning in fiscal 23-24. The Personalized Education Plan, or PEP scholarships, were added, with up to 20,000 PEP scholarships eligible for funding in the current fiscal year. And for each subsequent year, an additional 40,000 scholarships may be added. The second change is that the income eligibility requirement was removed. As you can see on the slide, as of January the 8th, there were 129,228 FTC scholarships and 18,081 PEP scholarships that are funded. Additionally, the slide shows the number of transportation scholarships that were funded with tax credit revenue. The next slide shows the Family Empowerment Scholarship for Educational Options, or the FESEO program. Similar to the FTC scholarship program, beginning in fiscal year 23-24, the income eligibility requirement was removed. However, funding priority is still given to students whose household income does not exceed 185% of the federal poverty level, and students who are in foster care or out of home care. Again, as of January the 8th, there has been a 52% increase in the number of funded FESEO scholarships compared to fiscal year 22-23. And similar to the FTC scholarship, beginning in fiscal year 21-22, transportation, can we go back to slide 4? Thank you, sir. Also similar to the FTC, beginning in 21-22, transportation was added as an eligible use of the FESEO scholarship if the parent chose to send his or her child to a public school that was not their child's assigned public school. There were no FESEO transportation scholarships funded in fiscal year 21-22. Following the removal of the income eligibility requirement in fiscal year 23-24, the number of funded transportation scholarships increased by 547% compared to fiscal year 22-23. Currently, the funding source for these transportation scholarships is the student transportation allocation categorical in the FEFP. At the request of the chair, staff has been analyzing the sustainability of this funding source for these scholarships. The next slide. Since the eligibility of the FTC and FESEO scholarships are the same, we thought it might be interesting to look at the combined funded scholarships for fiscal year 23-24 compared to fiscal year 22-23. As the slideshow, again, by the date that we got the data, January 8th, there has been a 51% increase in funded FTC FESEO scholarships over the current year. Next, we'll move on to UA. The significant change to this scholarship program for fiscal year 23-24 is the increase in that annual cap. It was increased to 3% of the SES enrollment, excluding gifted students, instead of the 1%. You may recall that during the special session, legislation was enacted that changed the FES UA cap for the current year to be the number of timely submitted applications that have been reviewed and determined eligible by both the SFO and the Department of Education. This slide shows that the number of FES UA scholarships funded as of a December 20th payment file that was provided to us by the Department of Education, that there is a total of 93,682 funded FES UA scholarships. Of that number, 45,039 are included within the cap. Since the submission deadline for a timely filed FES UA scholarship for funding consideration in fiscal 23-24 was December the 15th, we would anticipate that that cap number as of the 20th, the 45,039, will increase. And the last slide is the HOPE scholarship. There's no changes to this scholarship program, so what we've provided for you on this slide is just the funding history of this scholarship program through our January 8th of the current year. And you'll notice that for fiscal 23-24, and again, this is through the January 8th, so we're halfway through the school year, there is a decrease. Again, I would suspect that we would have more applications and more HOPE scholarships funded. However, I think with the change of the elimination of the income eligibility requirement for the FESEO and FTC scholarship, that some of those students who have previously requested a HOPE scholarship may have gone ahead and requested the FESEO or FTC scholarship. Madam Chair, that's an update on the Nova scholarships that have been funded to date.
Thank you so much, Denise. Appreciate all your hard work on this. Members, we do have representatives from DOE, I'm so sorry, and Step Up for Students in Attendance. If there are any fiscal-related questions, and I say fiscal-related, they can answer or are happy to meet after the meeting if that works better. So with that, if you have any further questions, and if not, you can grab them on your way out. So, all right, Ranking Member Williams.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Madam Chair. For Step Up for Students, I have a lot of complaints coming to my office stating that they're not receiving the funding that should be available for their children. Is it a certain person that they need to be contacting? Because if they're struggling with getting their funding, some of their schools are closing down because they're not being paid properly. So is it, what can we do to assist at this time to make sure those funds are being released to the schools and the students?
Thank you for that question. If we could have one of the representatives from Step Up, if you don't mind coming and answering that. Thank you. You're recognized.
Good morning, committee members. I'm Alexis. I'm with Step Up for Students. If you particularly are getting the emails, please send them to me, and we will look into them case by case, because we are looking at ones that we hear of, and we're breaking them down and seeing where the issue is. We do believe that quarter one and quarter two payments to the school, the major issues that they saw in the fall, have been resolved as we've gone through the school year. We've been able to improve our process with every quarter funding. So if there are still issues that are outstanding, please send them to me, and we will look into those schools specifically and the students that you're talking about. Follow up?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Can we get your information so that we are able to do so?
Yes, ma'am. I can provide it.
Thank you. Representative Bracy Davis, you're recognized.
Thank you so much, Madam Chair. Could you elaborate on what the major issue was? I, very similar to Representative Williams, had a huge amount of calls and emails. So while I know you're saying that that issue was resolved, just for our knowledge, what was the issue?
You're recognized.
Thank you. So I think for this school year, the funding with all the new students and everything, like, it was just a lot of adjustment on our plate with the new funding for additional students and additional schools. So we have, once we receive the funds from the department, we have to go through a vetting process to ensure that the students that are receiving the funds are in the proper programs, in the proper place. So we also had a new system that the schools had to onboard onto, and so that was a new system that they had to learn. Meanwhile, we were doing all the increase of students in schools. So I think the combination of a new system and then new students was causing some delays in quarter one, but we have seen improvements every quarter following that with getting the payments out quicker to the students in the schools.
Follow up, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In your estimation, do you have all of the proper amount of staffing in place to handle any of those concerns in the future?
You're recognized.
Yes, ma'am. We do, and we are continuing to hire new staff to keep up with the program demand as it grows.
Any further questions? Representative Temple, you're recognized.
Yes. So, like my counterparts that received the same emails early on, but probably from November on, that steadily declined. So I do think whatever changes were made were helpful. Do you anticipate, with rolling into a new year this next August, like you mentioned, that onboarding of new students and that kind of stuff, are we going to see that same kind of issue there, or the things that you put in place have addressed that?
You're recognized.
We do not think those same issues will reoccur because the schools will already be set up in the system and they will have had a year of experience using our Emma platform, so they should know how to get in better, not be locked out, just certain types of things that they've learned the system, and they should be able to move forward better next school year.
Representative Garcia, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. At the beginning, we received a lot of calls, and I want to thank you because for each and every one of the people that we got calls from and emails, Step Up did a great job responding and making everybody whole. And you know, this was a great lift. This is a wonderful, HB1 is a wonderful, wonderful thing because now the money go with the students as they should. And you guys are doing a great job at implementing. So thank you very much. And thank you, Madam Chair, for this great bill.
Representative Michael, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My question is, are you now, do you believe, because you all have made a great improvement. We've seen it. We were getting the emails, I think, like most of us are saying here. And we've seen a decline in the issues. So do you now believe that you have the personnel that you need in order to respond, continuously respond as efficiently as you have been?
I believe that question was answered, and Step Up for Students has said that they do, and they're bringing more staff on as we speak. So I think that question has been answered, but if you would like to elaborate more, you can, but if not, I think we answered that one. Okay. Any further questions? Yep, absolutely. Representative Lopez.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. I believe that my question might be better served for DOE. If that's okay. So I got several questions, which I thought was really interesting. Many parents thought that the school in which their children was enrolled would be participating, right? And so I had one specific constituent who said, my school's not going to take those scholarships. And it was a religious school, and the religious school thought that they don't want to take these scholarships because somehow they believe the government is going to try to interfere in their curriculum. And I obviously know that that is not true, but is there a way, maybe you could elaborate, and I'll certainly take this back to my district, how schools go about, qualifying to be part of the program, and then is there something that, clearly states that, the participation in this program has nothing to do, if you're a religious school, with your religious curriculum?
Madam Chair?
Yes, and now that is more of a policy question. So, Mr. Miller, if you're able to and want to answer that, you can, but understanding that is more of a policy-related question.
Of course. And actually, my name is Adam Emerson, the other Adam.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
That's all right. I'm the executive director of the Office of School Choice at the Department of Education. I can tell you that we, at the passage of HB 1 and at its signing into law, we received about a 50% increase in the number of new private schools that wanted to participate in the program. So the response was overwhelming. But that's not to say that we also didn't do a little bit of outreach to schools that also expressed the same concerns that you just did right now. In fact, even one local school that I visited and talked with their board and also calmed the same fears, the same consternation they may have had over it. So I think a lot of new schools that haven't participated up to date are having those conversations. They're still, if they haven't participated up until now, they've always had those questions. They'll continue to have those questions, but we'll continue to do the outreach to make sure that, if whatever their fears are, whatever their questions they have, they'll get answered and addressed.
Sorry about that, Mr. Emerson.
Sorry.
Any further questions? Ranking Member Williams, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Can you give us the number of students that has migrated from the public school system to the private school?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Those are numbers that we'll probably have to go back and get data for on you to see that how that migration has worked. I know that we can be able to see that migration over time. So I'm happy to give that to Ms. Potvin when we can get that data.
Wonderful. Follow-up, you're recognized.
Follow-up. Maybe percentage numbers that we can get later. What percentage of the $138,470 vouchers for the 2024 students whose household's income does not exceed 185% of the poverty level?
You're recognized.
That's also something we'll probably have to come back with this committee later on, as well as working with the SFOs to maybe get that data on. I don't have that off the top of my head, but we can get that.
Madam Chair. Follow up.
Thank you. When you spoke about foster care and children out of home care, what's the percentage and how many are we talking?
You're
Madam
recognized.
Chair. Okay, that is also some other data we'll have to look at.
Sounds like you will be getting an email later on, Ranking Member. Any further questions?
I have more, but I'll wait.
I don't think we have any more, so if you want to take one more question. Thank you, ma'am.
Just one. It's about the HOPE scholarship. You said that the funding or the student has decreased. Do we know why?
You're recognized.
Madam Chair. Participation in the HOPE scholarship has never been large, although it's gone up. It stayed at a pretty relatively lower number over time. I can't say why we're seeing a decrease in the number of HOPE scholarships now. It could be that the realization that, especially with HB 1 this year and the passage of basically universal school choice that went into effect, that many students that may have considered private school would have just gone to the FES, the FDC scholarship as it was. But I can't tell you exactly why we're seeing a decrease in the number of scholarships, but the HOPE scholarship program has never been that large in the past.
Follow up, last one.
Okay, last one, and then it sounds like you two need to have a meeting after this, so.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Since the scholarship is not being used quite often, is it any way possible that that funding could be shifted back to the public school system?
You're recognized.
I mean, the HOPE scholarship is for those students who feel bullied in their current situation right now. It could be a lifeline for any one student that wants to participate in that program.
Thank you. Well, seeing no further questions, thank you both DOE and Step Up for Students for being here to answer questions, and Denise for the wonderful PowerPoint. This concludes our committee agenda. Is there any further business before the committee? Seeing none, Representative Lopez moves we rise, and without further objection, the meeting is adjourned.